So, Brad, what is your experience with skateboarding?
You know, I didn't get into skateboarding a ton as a kid. I remember I had some friends in college who were really into, like, longboarding, and I tried it once, and I was really terrible at it, and I was like, I do not want to do this anymore. But I got really into snowboarding, and I really love snowboarding. So it's not actually skateboarding, but,
it's board adjacent.
It's adjacent, and, I mean, as I've talked to people who skateboard, it's very different in the mechanisms of how you turn, but I love snowboarding. I've gone out to Colorado and just, had that whole experience. I really love that aspect of, a boarding sport. What about you?
Yeah, I've tried it as a kid. I remember trying to go down, our cousin's driveway and just not understanding how to control. I mean, we were kids, so it wasn't, we had a ton of experience.
I feel like I would fall on my butt so often if I ever tried.
But couple years back, I got a one wheel, which I would consider to be skateboard adjacent. So that's been a super fun, just taking it to work. And I work next to a trail that's paved, and so a lot of times on my lunch break, I'll just get my one wheel out and just cruise. And, people say it's very similar to snowboarding.
Yeah, I've ridden your one wheel. It's essentially like a skateboard that's powered by how you lean with it.
Yeah, it's on, balancing on one go-kart tire in the center. It's super fun. It's
very fun. I think the other things that are even skateboarding adjacent, growing up, rollerblading and scooter, we had scooters.
I remember trying to do tons of tricks on our Razor scooters as kids.
You just nail your leg the metal. We were spinning around or something.
We could do bunny hops or backwards wheelies, front wheelies. I remember we had a long driveway that was on a hill. And I remember, teaching myself how to, lean forward against the handlebars and, ride down the hill with no hands.
On your scooter.
On my scooter.
I love doing that on a bike, but I don't think I would ever want to do that on a scooter anymore. That seems too precarious.
For me, the worst part on the scooter is if you are in the summertime riding barefoot and you're going down the hill and you push the brake on the back with your bare foot, it would burn your heel of your foot. So a lot of times if we didn't want to wear shoes, we would just ride down and then we would jump off our scooter into the grass.
Yep. Go off to the edge. But today we are talking about the skateboarding game Ollie Ollie.
Yes. So we're playing this on the Switch version, which actually has both Ollie Ollie 1 and Ollie Ollie 2. For this, we played more of Ollie Ollie 2. So...
yes. So all this stuff is kind of that package together, but kind of maybe focusing more on the second one.
So Ollie Ollie is a 2D combo building skating game with a bunch of different themed worlds where you're trying to complete different challenges and get high scores.
Yeah. So I found this game. This was a number of maybe a year ago, and it was really cheap on the Nintendo Switch eStore. And I was just like, well, it's 50 cents. I guess I'll just buy this game. And I hadn't touched it until we were like, you know what? Let's try it out for this episode.
I actually had played it probably about 6 months ago and played through a good majority of the levels. I mean, I experienced a lot of the levels. I didn't actually consider myself mastering the levels. Uh-huh. So picking it back up for us playing it for the podcast, I felt like I had a much better understanding, where there's a lot of mechanics where they kind of really slowly introduce you to them.
Yeah.
And so, a lot of the challenges on the earlier levels that were revolving around, getting a high score was kind of hard to get to the first time I played through. But then once you kind of, get a better understanding of all the tricks and all the things that you can do and how to actually combo, so you can, finish the whole level on one...
massive combo.
One combo, the scores just get so astronomically high that it's just oh, I can't believe getting 20,000 was ever an difficult issue when I first started.
Yeah. So the first thing that's going to come to anybody's mind when you think of a skateboarding game is Tony Hawk. Those old Tony Hawk games. How would you compare and contrast these two, just so people will have a better understanding of what Ollie Ollie is kind of like?
Oh, man. It's a tough comparison because I think a lot of the excitement of Tony Hawk, especially back when it was first coming out, was the fact that it was this explorable 3D world.
Yeah.
And trying to find these secrets or these paths that you can go on or places that you could make the combos. And so a lot of it was actively figuring out the level to where the best spots are. But I feel like it has that similar flow state of you can just kind of continue, move from one trick to another. And that feels really cool. I think the biggest, it's not a comparison, but having played Tony Hawk, the biggest thing that I feel like Ollie Ollie is lacking is a solid soundtrack. Interesting. I think for me, I mean, neither of us played a ton of the Tony Hawk games, but I think one of the most enjoyable parts of the games was just like that punk rock music that's going on in the background when you're like out skating. And Ollie Ollie's kind of has like a very generic indie soundtrack that's just not bad, right. But it's not like I often would play just without the sound on. You know, my son
it,
is
it didn't playing. Feel and it, like you missed
because
out.
I, yeah. Mostly because the music was not like, oh, I want to hear this. It was just kind of like, yeah. Oh, this is just some extra noise that's going on. I don't need it right now in my life.
My biggest thought comparing the two is in the gameplay of Ollie Ollie, you're just on a screen and you're just going to the right. You're just always going in that same direction. You have very little like choice. There are a couple times throughout the level that or in later levels that you can choose. Am I going to grind on this handrail or am I going to wait to go to the lower handrail that you can grind on? But in general, the whole level that you're playing, you are going to be doing the exact same thing every time on that level. You're never going to be able to like be more creative in the ways that you're going on the level because you're just going to the right and you're trying to get your high score as you're going to the right. That's all you're doing.
Somewhat doesn't bother me for this kind of game, though, because I feel like Tony Hawk is very exciting, but unless you like actively know what you're doing, it can be kind of daunting to figure out how to actually succeed in the game. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Ollie Ollie does a really good job. I think it's a very great intro into just learning about different skating terms and how like combos work together. And I'm curious that if we were to go back to play Tony Hawk now after experiencing Ollie Ollie, if we would have more enjoyable time just because the simplicity of the game really teaches you the mechanics because you don't have to think about, oh, which way am I exploring? Which way do I need to go to get to the next jump? How do I carry this through? It's just right. Literally this flow of like the level comes to you and you just react to it.
Yeah. One of the main driving forces in this game for me was there's like a star system for each level. And you have 5 stars that you could potentially earn throughout the level. And they're based off of different things. Usually they're in the same kind of categories, like a high score for the whole level, like a combo that was a certain number of tricks long and you did a certain thing and maybe some challenges throughout the level. And then like a specific trick that you have to do or a specific like couple tricks in a row. To me, that was like the most engaging part of the game, whereas like I want to make sure that I can like be good enough to get this really long combo. And like whenever I played a level, I don't know if you experienced this, but when I played a level, like I wouldn't move on from that level until I got all 5 stars on the level. Did you play it in the same way?
My first time playing, I did that way until it got to the point where I was just like frustrated and like just, the game felt so samey that I just wanted to experience more of the game, because you can progress to the next level just by making it to the end of the run, regardless of your score. You just can't crash on your way to the end. I would always try to get at least one of the stars once I got past that point of like, don't feel the need to be a completionist on this.
Yeah.
And then once I got all the way to the end, that's when I started going back and trying to fill out all of the stars.
Okay.
I didn't get to the point where I got all of the stars. But if you ever got 5 stars on a level, you would unlock the pro version of that level with, it would be slightly different route, and then it would be a more difficult challenges. And so it's kind of like, as your skills progress, you're able to experience more content in the game.
Yeah. One of the other games that I was thinking about when playing this game, because I didn't play a ton of Tony Hawk growing up, but there was a game that we played quite a bit of, and it was like a Hot Wheels Velocity X is what it was called. Is that the name?
Yep. It was. I've played it recently. Nostalgia plays a role in it, but it's still a fun game. It's battling Hot Wheels with challenges and tricks and stuff you can do, and a decent story for the, you know, just some random Hot Wheels game you're going to find on the GameCube.
Yeah. But I remember like trying to get the highest score on a specific individual combo. And this was really dumb, but there was this one level that had this like spinning like saw thing in the middle of the level. And you would do some crazy big trip, and if you landed right on that, you could bounce off it and your trick would continue. And that's how I always figured out, like, that's how I tried to get the highest score. And I'm sure that probably wasn't like the best way to do it, but that in my head, that was the way to get the highest trick.
I'm so curious, both. I remember that game being challenging, some of the challenges that you had to complete.
Yeah.
I'm curious if it was actually difficult going back, if we played it, if we found it difficult, or if it was just we were kids.
Yeah.
And so we found it hard then. And then the other thing I'm curious is for a lot of games, like, I mean, we played games not having access to the internet. I'm curious what, like, peak exploits. Performance of, like, people who are both, A, really good at the game, or people who found, like, ways to cheese the game in ways that was not intended.
Yeah.
I just think it's crazy that stuff that, like, speedrunners can come up with.
It's so interesting to me. That's a game that it could be like a really dumb speedrun because it's just, like, you run through all the levels and it's just kind of really basic. But there could be some really cool mechanic in the game. I love that aspect of, like, high-level speedruns when there's, like, a really cool mechanic that they utilize in the speedrun that allows them to make it way faster. And so those are the types of things in speedruns that, like, pull me in and make me want to, like, learn more about that speedrun. But
yeah, this game is not, Ali is not very speedrun prone. I mean, you could race and see who can, you know, get all the stars the fastest. But, it's a skating points for doing trick games. So yeah. They definitely got the leaderboard aspect of,
For sure.
You know, old school arcade where you're trying to just, like, have your name on the top of the leaderboard. I remember playing it a lot, just like, oh man, I feel like Brad's probably getting really good at this. I want to, you know,
have a higher score
than, I don't remember what my highest score. I had a couple of them in the multi-millions. But I just like, I feel like I'm going to show up and having think I played decently. And you're like, oh yeah, I got 5 stars on every single level. You were having such trouble with it. So I felt like that's what happened when we played Slay the Spire. You're just like, oh, I beat everything in my first try. It was super easy. And I'm just like, am I an idiot? Or
I think I just got lucky in Slay the Spire. But that was not my experience with this game. Like, I was very much so invested in the 5 stars. But I think what you mentioned of, like, it kind of like it being so samey, I think that started getting to me a little bit. And so I didn't want to complete go all the way through everything with all the stars.
I feel like that's, you missed out on a lot just because once you have gotten everything, you can kind of pick and choose a little bit. And if you get tired of a certain world's aesthetic, you can, you know, I'll try to get 5 stars in this, or like, just, I thought it was really fun focusing in on just like the combo aspect, trying to get really good combos. Cause later in the game, you learn how to do manuals, which is basically, I would classify it for a non-skateboarding person's, instead of landing the trick on your
all four wheels,
you just are doing a wheelie, either forwards or backwards, until you jump into the next trick. And that's, you know, one way you can start really chaining
right.
combos really long together. And to me, that was way more exciting than some of them. The challenges are like, collect these certain collectibles. And it's way easier if you just, like, have a terrible score and are just like, I'm just going to make it, you know, I want to complete the challenge.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just really got sucked into, like, trying to get
the
really,
tricks and
really high scores. And then I actually normally don't feel drawn to this in this type of game, but I was, like, looking at the trickography to figure out, like, they give you the controls how to do every trick.
Yeah.
And some of them just are, it's a simple, you know, you can just, like, move your joystick in a direction and let it go, and you jump up and do a trick. But then you have, like, the combination of, like, you have to start your joystick in a certain direction and spin it a certain way, which, you know, I can get my head around. But then there's some of them where it's like, okay, you need to hold R and then start your stick going left and then move around and then move back counterclockwise and counterclockwise or clockwise again. And it's just, like, I was able to land a couple of them, but not enough to where I could do it in a flow state of just, like, you know, just
part of
going down. There's some tricks where just like, oh, this is just second nature now. It's just, I will do the trick.
Yeah.
And some of them were even, like, slightly more advanced to the point where it takes a while to land them. You're like, crap, I can't actually do this trick
because I don't
in this spot because I'm not jumping high enough to be able to make it to the next rail or
right.
your speed. I just think it's just kind of fun. I like how that it's like you can just go and you can experience the whole game, or at least the beginner levels of the whole game, But then you have this sense of like, oh, I'm actually learning how improving these combos work together.
Yeah. Which you can totally do at the beginning of the game, but you haven't learned some of those aspects. If you're playing it for the first time, you don't even know that the idea, the manual, like whatever, landing on two tires
is even in the game. I didn't know it was a thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a skateboarding, like as far as true skateboarding goes, person. And so I was just like, oh. Oh. That makes sense how you can get those huge combos that I didn't see how it was possible to get before. How are you going to get
a combo of 30 tricks in a row without without finishing the combo? Like, it doesn't make any sense. But no, then you add those in. I think that to me, like trying to get through an entire level on one super long combo was really fun. And then it's really satisfying to like land it and then just get a ton of points.
For sure.
I did not get even close to the multi-millions on a single trick. I got a million like one time and I was like, oh yeah, I'm pretty cool. And I was just like, continue the game. Like,
yeah, I think I got 2.5 was my peak. But I've also, as you get further in your experience with the game, there's different like levels of like how well you landed the trick, each trick.
Yeah.
And getting those perfect green landings.
Oh my gosh.
Like there's a challenge I just completed today where it was like, do the whole run only getting perfect landings. And like, it's not just like to end the trick. It's like literally
each trick
has to be every perfect grind, every perfect manual, all the way through. And it took me, I could do like 95% of the run. I'd have like one or two spots where I would get like a good landing that was blue instead of the perfect green. And then I finally hit that run and it wasn't even my high score, which was the frustrating part. Like, I wasn't like not trying to do cool tricks during it.
But you were more focused on
the actually landing. Getting the perfect lands. And it's just like, oh, I thought my scores were going to be higher. Because you can see your score building up in the bottom as your combo gets bigger. But if you don't get a perfect landing, you don't actually get the full amount of that.
It's like a multiplier. Your final landing.
Your final landing is
the most important. Like the final.
Your biggest. But if you have more perfects throughout your run, you're going to have a bigger score going through.
Yeah. So I think that there's a lot of fun aspects of that. I think sitting down with somebody else and being like, who is at a similar like level in the game and playing at the same time and seeing what your scores are and comparing, I think would have a lot of...
I think I would have enjoyed it more if we were playing it side by side.
Yeah.
And like, okay, we're both going to do track, you know, world 2, track 4, and we got 10 minutes. Let's see who gets the highest score. Yeah, like
some type of challenge in the game. I think that could be really fun. I think I would have enjoyed this game if it was like handing off the controller back and forth on the same TV.
This is perfect for Switch play if you have multiple Switches
and you're sitting in the same room. I feel like that would, to me, would be like the most fun aspect, is like trying to best your friends sitting in the same room on separate Switches, because you're experiencing the exact same game. It's not like you're going to throw any other things in there. Each level is exactly the same. There's not like that RNG element to the game.
Yeah, this is a pure skill-based game, which is, I know, enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's nice to see your skill get better, because it's like, stuff just seems impossible. You're just like, I don't know how you can make that challenge. And then as you get better, you're like, oh, that challenge is now easy. But then there's other stuff that, there's a couple levels where you need like 3.5 million high score. And I'm just like,
I'm just going to finish this one.
I would have to be using the best tricks in the game that are really difficult consistently. I know that's the way to get the score. And I have not put enough time into actually being able to do that. But it's fun to see that, oh, there's more room to grow still, even after feeling like I'm pretty good at the game.
Totally. Is there anything else about the game that you'd like to talk about before we go into ranking it and those kinds of things?
I'm ready to rank it.
All right. So here we are. This is our 15th game on the queue. Is there an area, like maybe top 5, middle 5, bottom 5, that you're feeling for this game in particular?
I feel like it's somewhere in the range of the middle to bottom 5.
Okay.
And kind of, I would put it close to the precipice of the middle and the bottom 5, where they collide. It's kind of where I'm feeling.
Okay.
I could see it going higher of the middle 5. I could also see it going towards the bottom. It's kind of in that realm of possibility for me, depending on, you know, how we actually feel against these games as we talk about them.
I'll read that, like, that little, the area that you're talking about, just so people have an idea of where we're talking about. Number 6 is Salt and Sanctuary. 7, Dead Cells. 8, Slay the Spire. 9, Crypt of the Necrodancer. 10, Into the Breach. 11, Tunic. 12, Retro Bowl. 13, What Remains of Edith Finch. And the last one, number 14, Golf Story. So where do you want to start? Is there a comparison here that you're like, I think that these would be a fun comparison?
Gosh. I don't have a clear spot. Do you feeling strongly?
I feel like a good maybe starting spot would be Into the Breach. They are both more simplistic in nature. There's not a million different aspects of the game. It's kind of like focusing on one, where Into the Breach is on that, the tactics and like trying to manipulate the enemies. That's really focused in on that puzzle aspect of it, where Ali Ali is really focused in on how do you like extend this combo to its extent. To me, that is like the pinnacle of Ali Ali is the combo aspect and trying to get high scores.
Yes. I'm so torn with our rankings because sometimes you like want to compare it to a game. You're like, okay, I'm looking at the list. I'm like, it's better than that game. It's better than that game. But I think it's significantly worse than a couple of the games that are ranked lower than the two games I just said that it was better than.
Yeah.
Like, just my gut feeling just looking at our list. Like, I enjoy Ali Ali, I think, more than I did Into the Breach, which kind of surprised me because I really enjoyed Into the Breach. And I think it's just a really good puzzler. And then, you know, my feelings on Crypt the NecroDancer. Like, I just did not have a great time with it. I think it has a more interesting, unique, like, gameplay, like, thought. This is just a very derivative, like, we're going to have a fun skating game, and like, an arcade high score style play. But enjoyment-wise, Ali was significantly more enjoyable to me than Crypt the NecroDancer. And I've talked about it the last couple episodes, but I'm just like, I think Tunic blows Ali Ali out of the water. Like, I don't think it's even close,
mm-hmm.
but Tunic is rated below.
So this is interesting because I, as you're talking through these different things, I did not have nearly as enjoyable of a time with Ali Ali as you're explaining here. Like if I'm looking at like Crypt of the NecroDancer, which you it feels like you're probably way higher on Ali Ali than Crypt of the NecroDancer. Yeah. I'm exact opposite. And I could like to play all my cards even up front, like I could see this one going all the way to the bottom in my personal view. So I feel like this might be the game that we've been felt the most stretch in terms of like where each of us would want to put the game other than maybe, Stardew Valley where your personal enjoyment, but that was different. Though. Yeah. It's a whole different thing.
I respect Stardew immensely. And we've been talking, like we've been looking at YouTube videos about different mods to put on it, which we can't really do on our Switch, but I'm like, oh, I feel like if I had this mod and this mod installed, I might actually have a better time playing it, even in the solo gameplay aspect of it.
And I've been doing like a speed running some Stardew Valley things, which is like, I don't know, I don't do that very often, and I'm really wanting to do that. So, anyways, that's enough about Stardew Valley for right now. We're not even close to Stardew Valley, and
I don't want to be trying to figure out if this, you know, is better or worse. I just want to literally compare it game to game.
Okay.
So let's just start at the bottom with Golf Story.
Okay.
I just want gut feeling. Do you have more enjoyment with Ali Ali or with Golf Story?
The first time I played Golf Story, definitely more on the Golf Story side. I feel like the second time I played Golf Story was not nearly as enjoyable to me. And part of it was the sameness of Golf Story. But I felt the sameness with Ali Ali. To me, Ali didn't seem very deep. And I don't think it wasn't trying to be deep, but it felt like the same thing over and over again. And it got stale to the point where I didn't want to keep going down and I didn't play all the levels. I didn't finish the fifth like world, or even get to the fifth world. But I was just kind of, I play the game. I understand the mechanics. It was enjoyable to some degree, but I didn't want to come back to it.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just going to go, this is not on my ranking. This is just a straight enjoyment of my experience. I think I enjoyed Golf Story more than I enjoyed Ali Ali. I think I enjoyed What Remains of Edith Finch more than I did Ali Ali. I wasn't there for the ranking of Retro Bowl, but I enjoyed Ali Ali more than I enjoyed playing Retro Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Tunic, I enjoyed more than Ali Ali. I enjoyed Ali Ali more than I did Into the Breach.
So like,
I enjoyed Ali Ali more than I did Crypt of the NecroDancer, and then everything else above that I liked better than Ali Ali.
So we have a weird ending to our queue right now in this specific game. I mean, probably some other games as well, but like I feel like this game in particular, we have even disagreements in that. As you were walking up there, I'll be like, I honestly probably would put in my personal ranking Ali Ali as the last game in my personal like desire to play it and enjoyment. Even as much as I like disliked the golf story replay, it's still like Ali Ali just it never hooked me. Whereas Golf Story had hooked me, and I feel like the mechanics of the game.
I have two placements for it.
Okay,
and I want you to give a. I want you to pitch both placements to me.
Okay.
And then whichever one, unless I feel like you're totally sandbagging me,
okay.
Then I'll fight a little bit. I can either see it going last, 15th, or I can see it going above Retro Bowl, below Tunic, at the new number 12.
So I'm arguing for each of these things?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, I'll start by, I was already kind of doing my argument for it being last. I feel like It's so focused on one aspect of a game, which is trying to get a high score. But it in the high score aspect of the game, it didn't really draw me in. It has like a moment of like, oh, that was interesting, that was fun, but do I really want to do it again? That was the question I kept asking myself over and over again. Was that was oh that was pretty good. I did a good job, but like, why am I doing this? Like, okay, I got the star, okay, but. It never felt like it never clicked into, now that I've understood it, I want to master it. It was always like, I guess that was kind of interesting. Okay, I see what they're doing here. Like, it's a combo builder. But I don't feel like they even did the combo builder to the degree that would make someone want to, like, really invest a lot of time. And that might not be true for you. Maybe you enjoy it. You want to invest more. But for me, that's where how I would rank it as the last one on the queue. Because in its one specific area that it's really focused on, it didn't even grab me in.
Mm.
Moving up to the Retro Bowl, underneath Tunic, above Retro Bowl, this might be even hard. So Retro Bowl and Ali Ali are both sports-based games. And I'll try to get into actually arguing for it, but I'm much more invested in football than I am in skateboarding, to the point where this is a really dumb story. I remember in like church camp, there was like a like football group and a skateboarding group, and they were like kind of at odds with each other. I don't know if you remember this at all. And there was like I remember there was like tension between the two groups because like one group thought it was more like, oh, football is better, and one group was like skateboarding is better, and I was more in the football group, even though I wasn't like a part of any of the actual
tension that was going on.
But I was just like,
I have no memory of this.
I associate more with football than I do with skateboarding. But I think with Retro Bowl, there is a lot of sameness, but there are more. It's more variety. It's not as focused. Retro Bowl is like trying to imitate a full like football experience. You're managing the team, you're playing the games, you're drafting players, all that stuff. So it's more broad. It's not focused as much.
Definitely not focused. I just also feel like the depth of the gameplay is so much lower in Retro Bowl. And I have a soft spot for the high score format of gaming. It's where gaming started as far as like arcades went. And I feel like most games have really left that as a mechanic of the game of like trying to compete to the point where people have added it back in. We talk about speedrunning a lot or just different challenges that people do that is more reminiscent to the old let's get a high score format of gaming in its infancy. And I think it's just a fun homage to kind of shift things up a little bit of like this game, a lot of the draw to it is literally I can do it better than you. And I think a little bit of you not playing it, us playing it together, just kind of playing it separately and coming, is we didn't really have that. I had that built in my head of like, I want to succeed and be better at this game than you are and have a better high score than you. And so I felt like I was fighting you, even though I was playing by myself and you had no clue that we were in this challenge.
We were battling, but I didn't know we were.
And so I feel like that's a draw, whereas I feel like Retro Bowl, there's not like we're playing our separate games and you're like, oh, I'm going to have a better football team than,
that's true.
Have a better record.
I think the biggest argument that I see for Ali Ali being above Retro Bowl is actually the the amount of different like tricks that you can do, that you can customize, like the way that you're actually doing the tricks. My biggest problem with that is that sometimes you don't even realize that you're doing new tricks, and being, it's hard to be very purposeful and like, I'm going to try and do this specific trick. A lot of times to me, it was like, okay, I push back and then I'm going to do a full circle. The game didn't actually register me doing the full circle one, but I didn't even notice it because it registered the 3/4 circle trick.
So you're doing a coolish looking trick, but you didn't realize it's not the one that you had intended to do.
And it's kind of hard for me to really fully, unless I were to be like, I know for sure that like the full circle is called the 360 doodad, right?
But it's so hard to even, it's so fast going that, I think that's my biggest complaint, is the fact that this is a combo game, but it's really hard to tell what your score is until after it's done.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know this to be the case. I am assuming that the harder tricks to do input-wise will get you a better score. But I don't think the game does a really good job in the visual department of, like, you telling you, like, what your score is.
Yeah.
It's in a spot of the screen where it's just not where you want to be looking in order to continue your run.
Able to do that, yeah.
And so it's... like, you're doing all this stuff, and it looks cool, and it feels very satisfying, but it's not until the end you're like, oh, I did not have as nearly as good of a run as I did last time.
Yeah.
Even though I felt like I was doing just as good.
Totally. And I think that could be part of the issue. I remember, even going back to that Hot Wheels game, like, the score that you were at was just really big, and it was super obvious. Like, your score is climbing. I'm like, oh, almost there. I'm still trying to do these crazy flips as I'm going through this thing, and then all I have to do is land. And so, to me, part of the, like, I didn't even know where I was at. It's like, if my goal was I needed to get a trick that was, whatever, 500,000, like, at what point do I know if I, like, have reached that point?
It's there, but it's very hard to, like,
and so
see,
I've never, like, it was, to me, it was just like, I better just keep going and hope I get a good landing at the end. So that this, like, I did that before. Like, I did the entire run and then I did like a bad landing and it was like 3,000 points. And it's just like, well, I guess I got to do this whole thing over again.
Yeah. I think if it had a better visual representation of your score, that I would push a lot harder at putting it at the 12 spot. I mean, I wasn't involved in the Retro Bowl. I think the Retro Bowl is actually ranked a little higher than I would have put it. It wasn't for me to say in that spot. I mean, we've talked about having our own personal rankings going in the future. So I'm curious how this stuff will, pan out in our personal rankings. But I just feel like both Golf Story and What Remained of Edith Finch had such more just gusto to their performance and my feelings of the game, that even though I liked Ali Ali better than some of the games that are above them, to me it's hard that I really enjoyed Golf Story and I didn't have as bad of a time my second time playing through it as
you did.
And just like, is it really gonna stay at the bottom of the queue this whole time? It doesn't quite feel
David
right.
Will be happy about that. That was the one he was most
what the heck are you guys doing?
What is this ranking? I think he actually said that most of it he agreed with other than Golf Story.
Yeah.
And he also mentioned Stardew. He would put Stardew overall his number one. But anyways, does it feel right to put it on at 15, or do you want to have a little bit more?
It doesn't feel wrong.
Okay. I know I've been dogging Golf Story for a while, but this is the moment where I can be like, no, Golf Story has some really good things. Like, even just playing a game of golf with your buddy sitting on the couch.
When you put it that way, if you're like, what would I rather do? Try to get a high score on a skating game, or like try to beat you in a round of golf? I think golf does sound better right now.
Well, at some point, maybe it'll get switched up again, and maybe we'll have our personal rankings, and we'll be able to see where these rankings are coming from and from our personal opinions. But I feel good with putting Ali Ali at 15.
Yeah, it's not a game that I feel the need to fight harder for, unlike Tunic.
Well, you're going to come to bat for Tunic in a couple episodes when we actually sit down and try to get to the nitty gritty of where these really should be at this point in the queue's history.
Awesome.
So, all right, Ali Ali is our new number 15 on the queue.